Oh, shit. What's going on, everybody? It is time. There we go. Time to bring in the team. Peaky. Harrison. Nah, okay, we're done with that. But yeah, also, I'm sad that we couldn't get to the cool part. But yeah, no, I don't want to get us in trouble already. But what's going on, everybody? It is I, Gilbert.
Me, Harry.
And
me, Peaky.
And we are here for the Fulcrum Entertainment Podcast once again. And we are, we are talking about X-Men 97.
Yeah, literally, boy.
Dude, literally one of the coolest things that I think Disney and Marvel have probably put out in the last, like 5-6 years. Like, this is probably the best Marvel property that has been done, like, bar none.
Ooh.
Fuck you, Moon Knight.
High praise.
I mean, dude, like, and the fact that it feels like it could fit so well into the MCU, and like, I feel like they kind of are trying to be like, hey guys, remember that thing in Doctor Strange? Remember that thing in Miss Marvel? Well, guess what? Like, I feel like they're absolutely trying to bring this into and make it more of like a more established thing in the MCU, and I'm like, I'm all for that. But yeah, guys, so we are here to talk about it. We're going to go through and just kind of get, that was my initial thoughts. So let's go ahead and get Harrison's real quick and hear what his initial thoughts are. Go ahead.
It's good. It's darn good. Like, I find this, certainly these days, it's easier to watch than the original series. And they're making great stories with it, like straight out the gate. So yeah, this is going to be one to watch. And I hope we're getting more. It feels like we haven't got much left, I suppose, compared to the original, where you'd have like endless numbers of episodes in a single season. Having like 10 feels like a little bit not enough.
I would absolutely agree. It feels like, although like it's not as serialized as the original series was, like with just, like you said, one episode, next, and each one doesn't really have too much, bearing. It's just kind of like, it's a fun little story that we can just do in a short time. These ones feel like they're doing a lot they're establishing so much and making it, like, for example, like we have one that we'll talk about it in a minute, but we talk about the episode with half Jubilee and half Rogue, or not Rogue, half Storm's episode. Yeah. Like, that is a part one. So we're going to be definitely getting a continuation of that later, and there's going to be more to it. So I think that, yeah, they're definitely building up a lot more than the original series did. Peaky, what are your thoughts on the show?
I've honestly fallen in love with this show. I agree with Harrison's statement of, it's easier to watch than what the originals were, because I've tried going back and rewatching the originals multiple times since they came onto Disney Plus. I struggled to get back into them. Whereas this, like, I look forward to each episode, and I could happily watch each episode over and over again as well. So, but yeah, no, how, like, these first.
Go on. I was going to say, how many times have you watched each episode so far?
3 times.
Okay. That was about what I thought. All right, continue your thought.
These first 5 episodes, I'm casting it 6 in reality, because we had that split episode of, like you said, we had the Motendo and then we had Life Death Part 1. So I'm counting it as like we've had 6 episodes technically, because we've had 2 different storylines in each. But I also like how each episode has more or less continued straight off the bat from the last episode. Whereas from what I can remember, the original series, they did that, but they didn't do it as often as what we've had it already. Whereas this, it seems like a continuous thing. Like, we've got we've got the overlooming threat of Sentinels, with hints of other villains making appearances as well. So I love what they're doing, and they need to keep doing it, but I do agree with, we need more episodes in season 2.
So would you guys be like more happy if they did like a 20 episode series and then kind of like took it, like, see, and now at that point, I wonder, would it lose some of its like seriousness, or like a lot of what made these episodes cool is a lot of the stuff that happens. Like episode 1, we get, You know, they have to go take down Bolivar Trask because he's building a second master mold. Episode two, turns out Magneto's now the new leader. And now we're going to go, what do they do in episode two? I think it's like the UN. He gets arrested by the UN.
Yep. And then that's the whole trial, I believe.
Yeah, episode three, they get attacked, but like they have their Gene and Scott, who turns out Gene is actually Madeline Pryor.
Like
called it. But yeah, like they have their child and he gets taken by Mr. Sinister, and we get that badass like shroom trip.
One thing I loved about that episode is when obviously they're talking about Mr. Sinister, Morph shows his like old face from the original series. And like, do you know what? I kind of like when I was watching that, I was kind of like, because of all the traumatic experience that the trauma that he experienced from Mr. Sinister, I can see why maybe he's not using that face anymore.
Yeah. And it actually makes absolute sense as why he's doing just like the polymorph face that he has.
Yeah. Because if you think, if he's got to look at that face in the mirror, it's going to constantly trigger really bad memories and flashbacks for him. So I can see why he's done that. And it makes a lot of sense.
Do you guys think that was his like, so is that like the one with the bags under his eyes? Like where it's like, it looks like he's not sleeping at all. Do you think that's his actual, like that's how he always looks? Or was he just trying to prove a point?
I think that's how he usually looks.
Okay. Cause that's,
and then he uses that, up, like that blank canvas type face around everyone else, that maybe it kind of like hides the pain that he's going, that he's still probably going through a lot of pain for what Mr. Sinister put him through. So maybe he's doing that as a front, so everyone maybe kind of like he's trying to protect his teammates and protect the other X-Men from what he's truly feeling and what he's truly experiencing.
Well, and I mean, I would also say protect himself probably more than anyone else. Like he's putting that wall there so that way they can't see. Yeah. And like that's also would explain why he has such like kind of like grim humor. Like he walks in pretending to be Professor X, is like, "Oh, Cyclops, I wish you would get the stick out of your ass."
I'm loving it. And the way like when Scott when Wolverine was up at that tree upset, he turned into Sabretooth to cheer Wolverine up. Like,
yeah.
I'm absolutely loving the continuation of like this brotherly bond that Morph and Logan have, because they showed it in the original X-Men series, especially when Morph supposedly died. Logan was distraught over that.
Yeah, no, they're like best friends.
Yeah, so and I'm absolutely loving that they've brought that back.
Mm-hmm. I was curious. So the first episode, they put in Sunspot. How did you guys feel about that? Like this, the douchey rich kid, he's supposed to be Sunspot.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, like they haven't done much with him yet. I mean, the most we saw him do, I think the first time we see him use his powers, like really, other than just saying to Jubilee what they are, is the Motendo episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we're going to get, I assume over this series, we're going to see Sunspot becoming a real member of the X-Men rather than at the moment where he's kind of just hanging out because he's trying to get with Jubilee.
Oh, he did. You watched Motendo. He totally
they did things. But also I think it's because obviously like he's scared, obviously, because the only people that know he's a mutant are the X-Men and obviously the people against mutants. So I think like he can be himself around the X-Men. So like that's probably really comforting for him to be able to like just be himself and not have to hide his true personality and his true self from his family. And because obviously he's from a really like publicized family as well, he has to obviously hide who he is when he's out in public as well. So I can see why he's enjoying hanging around with the X-Men, and obviously there's another reason why he wants to hang around with them, and that's Jubilee. But yeah, no, I'd love to, because he becomes a member in the comics, doesn't he?
I believe so, yes. If I'm not mistaken.
I think he's a member at some point, at least, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, even if he doesn't become a fully fledged member, like, you know, maybe going into season two, he starts to go on to missions with them. But I'm more than happy to continue seeing him in and around the mansion.
Yeah. It's definitely cool to see him like kind of grow and change, because in the first episode he's kind of a douchebag, Just like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, I'm rich. How much money do you want to let me go? It was like, dude, fuck off. It's like, yeah, no. Nah. But he's starting to become a little cooler. And then again, in the Motendo episode, he risks his own life. Like, he sacrifices himself to save Jubilee. So it's like, okay, yeah. He's all right. He's becoming a better guy. If only because the power of boners is stronger.
Also, I want to point out, obviously, while we're on the topic of episode one, when they're on their way to fight Boba Fett and Trask, and the X-Jet blows up, and then, like, all the flying ones just, like, you know, they go off and get all of the others. Scott does the ultimate superhero landing.
I mean, like, that was pretty bitching.
That was, like...
Like, yeah, no, I was sitting there. I had to watch that again a couple of times. I'm like, wait, what? And yeah, you know, him doing that, just like blasting the ground and then landing, like, I'm like, that's pretty bitching. Yeah, and then yeah, like, yeah, Rogue saving the other two, like Morph grabbing Wolverine, like it was pretty awesome.
It turned into Archangel as well. Like,
that was pretty. So yeah, Morph's transformations. And I think in episodes one and two, he transforms into Archangel, into Psylocke. He transforms into Colossus for a minute. Yeah. And then also, yeah, Sabretooth. Like, he transforms into so many, like, characters that we've seen in this show. And I'm like, oh, I love it. And it gives me hope that they will show up again later on as the actual characters.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I don't know about some of them. Some of them do seem to be just, like, ways to get in little references. Like, hey, we know you want to see this character, but it's hard to fit all these characters into a story like this.
But I'm also okay with that.
Yeah, I think it's nice to acknowledge, like, and they acknowledge that, like, as if, like, Morph knows who these people are. These people are within this world. They're just not in this story right now.
Yeah. Well, like, he turned into that woman with, like, the 4-6 arms who's...
Spiral.
But, yeah. He transformed into that. A couple of episodes later, she's in it. Like...
Yeah.
So, like I said, it gives me hope that there could be later on. Like, we might get Sabretooth somewhere down the line, or we might also get, you know, what, like, Psylocke or whoever. Oh, Baz says, love how Scott says, to me, my X-Men. Like, yes! That was pretty cool. Him being, like, you know, taking the mantle of leader, like, truly.
Yeah, and, one thing I obviously, like, Scott's been a little bit of a bitch as well.
I'm like,
let's be honest, the X-Men, apart from Logan, Storm, and Jean, and Beast, I'd say, all the other X-Men more or less look up to him because he's such a prolific member, and he is that team leader that, obviously, like, when they go on missions, all right, I know they're Charles's X-Men, but he's the team leader. Majority of the time, he's the team leader. If he's not team leader, it's usually Storm or Jean.
Yeah. It's because they were the founding members.
Yeah. So a lot of these X-Men and a lot of these other mutants more or less look up to Scott. But he needs to get the chip off of his shoulder, and he needs to... I know at the moment it's tough because of what happened in episode 3. But
this is a spoiler review. So what happened in episode 3, Peaky?
What happened in episode 3 is exactly how I called it, of Madeline Pryor showing up at the end. Well,
that was the end of episode 2.
The end of episode 2.
Yeah.
And then we're finding out that Mr. Sinister cloned Jean at some point, and we're not sure when. We're not sure when she got swapped out. And I love how even she's not even sure. I was like, oh, yes. So you're giving us more doubt of when we had the real Jean swapped.
And so one thing I really liked about that is the in episode 5, how he's, like, cheating on Jean with Madeline Pryor, yes. Like, in like the psychic realm. Yeah, that is great.
Like, Jean's like, that's the telepathy communication was our thing, Scott. It's like, excuse me, Madeline. I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Harrison?
You talk about Scott being a bit of a bitch in that episode. Like, whilst I understand, you know, Jean's going through some hard times. She's woken up. She's just discovered that she was gone for a certain amount of time. She doesn't know how long. But it's like, hey, let's be fair. She thought she was you. She is exactly you. And he put a baby in her. So, like, yeah, it's not that surprising. He may still want to talk to her. Like, and she's psychic, so talking by their mind is kind of a thing you do.
Yeah, so I'm like, Gene, I don't...
said that for a long time, that's how they communicated. That's how they spoke.
Yeah, so, like, yeah. But she does it with, I mean, like, obviously not in such an intimate sense, but she does do it with everyone at some point. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of one of the main things that people who can read minds and talk through minds are there for. Professor X did it all to them, you know, like, because he's got instructions for them or whatever. I'm like, yeah, okay, just like, just don't be so, I don't know. It's a lot. Their whole thing, it's not bad, but it might be my least favorite part of the show, because I'm just like, I'd like a little less Days of Our Lives and a little more shooty lasers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like what Mojo said. It's like, Summers Gray, divorce court. It's like, that is not X-Men.
I did quite like the 90s TV references. Who's the boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Fucking...
In that Motendo episode, I love the callback to like the original side-scrolling X-Men game. Like, that was brilliant.
That was good. That was good. Just honestly, all the '90s references were pretty funny. Like, I enjoy, like, when Jubilee calls the kid a yuppie. I'm like, I haven't heard someone call them that since since the '90s. Oh, Baz has an interesting question. Who's your favorite X-Men in the show? So,
In this show.
Are we talking all time?
We're talking about all time, it's got to be obvious the Wolverine. But
yeah,
if we're talking about the show, it's Gambit.
Yeah, like Gambit's pretty awesome in this. So far, he's only had that one episode where he's truly like the hero and the star, and it looks like it's the only one we're going to get. But
a lot of people have been moaning about like how he's been acting with Rogan.
That pissed me off. I want to go on a tangent about this. That whole thing about not even how Gambit's reacting, but how Rogue is like, oh yeah, no, turns out we had like 5 seasons of this show. You never knew that Rogue and Magneto totally fucked. Like,
yeah,
we just gotta gloss over all of it. They fought each other multiple times. They've been in the same fucking building together, but we're never gonna mention that at all. And now we're just gonna suddenly do that because a comic book said it. They did.
But also, I can see Gambit's side of it. Like, Gambit has been after Rogue since day one.
He's like the only person who's not afraid to even get close to her.
Yeah. And, like, it's like a relationship that he has to be celibate in. And we all know Gambit could be getting whatever he wants.
Gambit fucks.
Hand down.
But he's being celibate for Rogue, yeah. Which makes him that much more as, like, He wants her more than anyone else.
Yeah, he had a whole episode about her having to get married with the Assassin's Guild and the Thieves Guild. Like, it's something out of Skyrim. Like, and, you know, he turned all that down because he couldn't. He couldn't leave Rogue.
Yeah, man. And there goes Rogue. Second fucking Magneto shows up. Ooh, let's touch. I'm like, fuck you, Rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was depressing, but I'm like, on the one hand, you can kind of see where she's coming from as well, because it's like, that's something that she's not capable of doing with anyone, except for Magneto.
Yeah.
After all of that, and what happened in episode 5, where yet again, he sacrificed himself for her.
Okay. So we've mentioned this multiple times. I'm just going to fucking bring it out. Yes, in episode 5, there's a part where they all go to Genosha, because after Magneto's trial... it gets added to the UN because they all like decide that Magneto, he like after Storm loses her powers from a fucking, a power dampening gun or whatever. I don't know what the hell that is. But yeah, she loses her powers and Magneto gets pissed off and basically takes them into orbit and tells them, like, I could kill you right now, but I'm not gonna. Like, be better because I'm trying to be better. And then so, yeah, Genosha becomes a part of the UN. After that, during this whole nice party of like, yay, we're in the UN now, a fucking giant sentinel, like a master mold from the future, attacks them. And it is the most like messed up 15 minute, like not even 15, like 10 minutes of cartoon I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it's dark.
But I did like how they more or less took it from the comics, because it's basically the Genosha genocide.
Oh, shit. Like, that's an actual thing.
I don't know how it worked. I don't know how it happens in the comics, but there is like an attack on Genosha and it gets fucking wiped.
Okay. So that explains that. But yeah, in that, like the Morlocks die. Like, so yeah, like Leech. I'm pretty sure I don't know, but I'm pretty sure Magneto dies.
Like, yeah. I think because we didn't see him die, I think he might still be alive. But it, like, the Sentinel recognizes him as an Omega level threat and says Omega level threat eliminated.
Yeah, okay, I was going to say, because I do notice there's a time where he says Omega level threat recognized, and he looks at Gambit first. Like, he's, you see the scanners looking at Gambit first, then it moves to fucking Magneto. And yeah. But you're right, it does say Omega level threat neutralized.
I mean, so I'd be up for that. If Gambit's an Omega level mutant, they're really fucking vague on what makes an Omega level mutant. Because, like, yeah. Gambit's got great powers, but it's not the same as, like, I can control the weather or I can control any metal near me, not just what I'm touching.
Yeah.
Or just straight up, like, at this point, Magneto can create a fucking, like, he went into space and still had, like, ozone or whatever. Yeah, an atmosphere around. Yeah, he can create an atmosphere around his body. So,
what got me right on the edge of my seat during that episode was when, Magneto saw mutants getting wiped out and he went ape. Like, full on used a train as a whip.
Yeah, I was like, that was pretty dope.
He used that train like my dad used to use the belt.
Oh my God. Like, every time the Sentinel went to charge its gazes, it's got snapped. I was like, oh, come on, Eric.
Oh, dude, it was so good. And then, yeah, but, like, him dying, and then at the very end, fucking Rogue, like, she's about to go, like, she gets so pissed off that she's going to go kill the fucking, like, well, try to kill the Sentinel herself. Mm. And Gambit says, nope, fuck that. I'm going to be the one to you get to stay alive. I'm going to be the one to sacrifice myself because I love you, like, that much.
Harrison.
Oh no, just Gambit really shows that he's a threat to be managed with. Like he's hardcore. I think it's sometimes easy to kind of discount Gambit a bit, like, oh yeah, he makes things blow. But when it shows some of the tricks he does, like charging his kinetic energy into his staff to help him leap over things, it's just such great use of their powers.
Mm-hmm. The way he supercharged that motorbike and then used it, then jumped off of a building collapsing, jumped off of it, sending it into Rogue to get her out of the way, and then pulling out his bow staff midair, jumping off of rubble to attack the Sentinel. I was like, oh, fucking.
And like, yeah, you're sitting there, he's building it up. You're like, dude, who the fuck is he going to actually beat this thing by himself? Nope. But then in the last moment, I love how he charges the fucking robot up and blows it up.
His hands are like by his side. And you just see it glow purple. I was like, so he doesn't need to use his hands to make.
Yeah, he's like, I'm touching you, my guy. I can do it to whatever I'm touching.
Mm-hmm. I also want to bring up in that episode. Also, there's a really sad line that Rogue uses earlier. Like just before that happens, like she says that you light up everything you touch, but never me. I'm like, oh, dude, that's depressing. That's a bummer.
It's like, but you can never light me up. Or so,
like, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, dude, that's depressing in so many fucking ways.
And then I like how he's, oh, we could be friends. We'll be really good friends.
Well, I don't like, I like that, but I'm such a sucker for like the Cajun French, like, just mon ami. It's like, man.
I love that when he got the Sentinel stabbed him, he charged it up. He's like, the name's Gambit, mon ami. Remember it. And then it just like explodes. I was like,
Yeah, coolest way to go out. Like not to discount like literally what happened like a minute before that with fucking Magneto, but like him, which is another thing I wanted to talk about, is that in that last moment, Magneto says in German, don't be afraid, which I feel like that's them absolutely being like, all right, yeah, he was in the Holocaust, he's German, or he's like, he's Jewish. Yeah. But that was something that the original show never actually touched on. Like they kept it vague.
Yeah.
In the original show, I believe they still call him Magnus. They don't refer to him as Eric Lamsher. Yeah, like but the show seems to do some retconning, and I think it does it for its better. Like, I mean, when that first came out of Magneto being a Holocaust survivor, it really bumped his character up. It helps everything make so much sense. I mean, I'll say, like, even in the first like live action movies, there's a lot of things wrong with X3, but Magneto is fantastic in that movie. And like the fact that he's like, you've done this to me before. I've been genocided before. I'm not putting up with this. And it's like, oh yeah, no, he's got a point.
Yeah, it's that, that throwaway line in X3 as well, where he's got like he's talking with like the other mutant, and she's like, "Where's your mark?" He's like, "I got marked a long time ago," and showed his like Holocaust tattoo. He's like, "Yeah, that's my mark." Like, and, okay, power play.
And then yeah, when you and then when you get to like the Days of Future Past stuff with like Bishop, it makes absolute sense because then they're branded with the M, which is basically the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, like. And which that's another thing is that we haven't really talked about that as much, that Bishop is in this show and they just kind of dropped him in there without saying anything.
Yeah, it's like Bishop kind of was like, I'm sick of going back to the future. It's never that great. I'll just chill out here for a while.
Well, Beast was trying to repair his band, wasn't he? So, like, let's be honest, out of anybody, either Beast or Forge could help Bishop get back to the future. So I can see why. And yeah, like the way, like, you know, kind of just like the comics, Cable get, you know, gets sent to the futures because of the techno virus. And then we see him very briefly in episode 5 as adult Cable.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah. That was just like.
Yeah. Fuck. Like. It's like, oh no, he's coming. It's like, and the fucking, and the fact that he knew that, yeah, he was trying to do a like a Marty McFly and try to stop the future from happening, but
I I said this before we went, I think we're gonna see Cable again.
Oh yeah, guaranteed. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think question. Next week's episode is Life Death Part 2, which is the continuation of Storm and Forge's storyline from episode 4. I think after that we're possibly gonna see the outcome of what the X-Men are going to do next. There's attack on Geonosha and.
Now it's going to be like the aftermath and like the fallout of what, like, who made this giant fucking Sentinel? Where did it come from? Like, what, why did it attack our fucking, well, obviously why it attacked our nation, but yeah, it's like, but yeah, like it's going to be a lot of those questions. And I feel like we're going to get Evil Rogue. Like, after, if Magneto, in fact, did die, and then so did Gambit, we're going to get, like, an evil or, like, a dark Rogue in here.
I think Rogue is going to go slightly off board and kind of...
Like, she's going to go a little off the deep end.
Yeah.
And, like, and you know, I feel like that's kind of the theme of this series so far, is that we got, you know, Jean is going through, like, a crisis. Like, she had that scene where she made out with Wolverine. And so she's kind of, like, questioning whether or not she wants to be with Scott or not. We got Rogue with her love triangle. Like it's interesting.
That scene with Logan and Jean talking up down by the lake. Fucking Logan. He's been simping for Jean for the longest time possible. She kisses him and he like says like no.
It's because he knows that she's just doing it because she's vulnerable right now. It's not that she actually wants to be with him, it's that she feels like, Scott's wanting to be with Madeline. Like, he knows she's vulnerable, and he's not going to take advantage of that.
Like I said, she's going for a tough time. She doesn't know, like, when she got swapped out. She doesn't know what memories are hers and what memories are Madeline's. So, I can kind of see why she got confused and kissed Logan. Because Logan was generally just trying to be nice and chat to her.
Yeah, there was this sort of vague feeling of, like, because he's there just supporting her, essentially as a friend. He's like, look, you're going through a hard time. And she seems to have that thing of like, I think like you're right. She's got this like, Logan's always wanted me. I can just go to Logan, and then fuck Scott. I don't need Scott. I've got Logan here. He's sort of like pulling back and going, like, hey, now come on, this isn't how it works. I also think that at least in this show, he's got a little bit of that. He likes being the sad guy. Like, he's a bit sort of like Rick Sanchez. He likes being tortured and, like, makes me special if I'm not never happy. All I've got is Morph, who I'm pretty sure he wants to fuck me too, but I'm turning him down.
It's that scene where, like, Madeline goes like a bit ape shit and becomes the Goblin Queen. And he's like, when he's like in the shower, like, want me to scratch those hard to reach places? And he just like morphs his hand into Wolverine's claws. It's like, that's a bit Brokeback Mountain, but
I feel like Morph. So if he can copy powers, he can definitely copy body parts. So I feel like there might have been some times where Morph and Wolverine did some stuff. Turn into Jean for me again, Morph.
like that guy who transforms for Homelander in Boys.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Yeah.
The one who calls Mommy. Yeah, like that dude.
Another person we got to see in episode 5 was Nightcrawler.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else, but did you guys panic when he teleported Rogue and Gambit out of the way of that blast? And then you just saw him roll on the floor with smoke coming off of him. I was like, no. I was like, no, no, not Kurt. Like, no.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was a little worried.
I wasn't really expecting him to die. I don't know. It's something of like you can kind of tell sometimes because he's a character that's slightly too significant to just kill off without really putting much effort into it, you know, without giving much time. And I think the episode already had this feeling of it was ramping up to a serious death because things were going so bad. I like some of the things that were coming up in it. Like there's that moment where Scott comes in, they're watching on the TV and he just won't let them like leave it alone. It's like, how many? And I kind of love the sort of reaction that they have. It's a very real world horror at what's going on in Genosha. Yeah.
And like,
that's like mutant. That's a mutant 9/11 right there. So yeah. Which also, fun fact: in the very first shot of the first episode, you see the Twin Towers.
Hey.
Not that matters, but
when the world was a different place.
But yeah, straight up. I gotta admit, like this whole like episode 5 has ramped it up a lot. Like I'm struggling to think of how are they going to beat episode 5.
I don't know.
I know they're going to be able to top it, but I just don't see how. I
feel like they're going to try to do some stuff with not Rogue. I keep on going to Rogue with Storm. Like they're going to definitely do like with the continuation of her thing with the was it the character with like that giant owl looking thing, the adversary or whatever.
The adversary that showed up.
So I'm going to be interested to see what they do with that. I feel like that's going to be a whole like journey getting Storm her powers back.
It seems like only she can really see it because obviously it attacked Forge, but I don't think Forge could really tell.
Well, no, there's a part where when it breaks in, he says, "Demon, get out of my house!" and he tries to hit it and it knocks him out
directly. Yeah. Now I'll be interested to see what they do with that. It's one of the weird things that, like, being based on a '90s show, there are things that the '90s show I think would do, but I think they wouldn't do now. Like, I feel like if it was the '90s show, what Storm's going to do is she's going to have a Native American style vision quest where like she takes like family friendly ayahuasca or something and like discovers her powers at the end of it. But that might be a bit insensitive. But I think it's going to ultimately end up with Storm getting her powers back. Presumably episode 10, maybe 9, she's going to come back like to save the day in some manner. And if we do genuinely have Storm gone, Magneto gone, it might be that Storm takes over as the actual good leader of the X-Men.
That would be
yeah. I don't think at this point in time Scott is leadership material.
I don't think he's ever leadership material. I think he's Riker. He's a great number one. Like you want him leading your away team. You don't want him in charge of the ship.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got the episode list here. Episode 7 is called Bright Eyes.
Oh, Bonnie Tyler's in that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Bonnie Tyler, right. Going to get a bit of meatloaf sprinkled in.
Totally listen to the heart.
And then episodes 8, 9, and 10 are three-parters, and their tolerance is extinction. So I feel like those three-parters are probably going to be all about what has just happened on Genosha.
I wonder whether Magneto is just going to lose his shit just to try and wipe out the human race.
Oh, if he's alive through this, he's going to be pissed. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go for it.
I was going to say, one of the coolest lines in that episode, in episode 5, was him being like, all right, you do this. Like him leading the defense and being like, save as many as you can. We will not wonder if we could have saved more. I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
like, he kind of made me like Magneto. This whole 5 episode arc has kind of made me like Magneto a little bit more.
His character arc through these 5 episodes, like we've known, like not just the original series, but all throughout X-Men stuff that we've seen and we've read and we've, you know, everything else and we've played, Magneto's been this big bad. Like, he's always been the adversary to the X-Men. And now, like, seeing this character development of him growing as the leader of the X-Men and kind of, you know, a mentor to others, it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. It is just, it's like the coolest thing to do. And I feel like that was something that they were really banking on with this show, is that they're like, all right, we want to make Magneto a likable character. We want to, like, redeem his arc and make him, like, something that the people can get behind. I don't know what they're gonna do with Charles Xavier, if they're ever bringing him back, but it's gonna be interesting to see that dynamic after Magneto becomes the good guy.
I wouldn't be surprised if Charles Xavier coming back is the only thing that stops Magneto killing all humans. And it probably might have some time travel implications. So, you know, Cable's preventing something, Bishop's preventing something. One of the two. But yeah, I love Magneto. I've liked Magneto for a long time. This show has made him, he's really bumped him up. He's so well shown in this. I think the fact that they gave him control of the X-Men allowed him to have these times where he could talk to people not as a supervillain. And so it kind of makes his message have more weight. So yeah. I talked to you two off air about the moment where he talks about the Morlocks, and he just comes back to the mansion. He's like, I'm sending the Morlocks to Genosha. I don't know why you didn't do that. You have superpowers and all this money.
And a ton of money.
Like, you couldn't even let them move into the mansion. Like, you left them to live in a sewer. I've actually done something about this. And I'm like, you've got a very good point, Magneto. And then his whole courtroom thing with the UN, when he, as we mentioned earlier, when he lifts them into space along with him, and then just kind of really calmly explains, like, I could kill all of you, but I'm trying to be nice right now. So I'm going to take you back. But you could all die and you all deserve it. But I'm going to be better than that because my friend is dead.
Yeah, dude, straight up. Well, yeah, because that's right. I was going to say, like, Storm didn't die. But no, you're right. He was talking about Charles Xavier. He's like, I'm trying to honor this man's vision. And so, damn it, be better because I'm trying to be. And and all the while, that dude... executioner or whatever, he's sitting there on that fucking seal just like, oh god, don't drop me.
Yeah.
like Magneto like steps on and is like, I could wipe you out with a single step. I am not afraid of you. And I was like, yes, Magneto, dude, you are a god, my man. Act like it.
You can see why he is an Omega level mutant.
Yeah.
Although you can also see why people are terrified of him because that kind of shit.
Down.
I think that's the nice of the thing with Magneto is it's like, I kind of wanted to say, like, you guys say I'm a terrorist. I've been holding back this entire time. I gave you all a chance. I could have just turned up and leveled cities and you couldn't have stopped me. But I warned you and I told you what I wanted.
Yeah, and like the point that he makes is that, like, this is like when you see Storm like sitting there crying because she's no longer a mutant. He's like, is this what we have to fucking do? Is this what you want? Is like us in front of you on our knees crying? Like, he gets like really, really indignant about that. I'm like, yeah, no, that's fucking horrible.
I love how
being still set in the 90s, it still has real world implications and real world messages like inputted into it. It's like,
I mean, yeah, Friends of Humanity are absolutely like the Proud Boys of the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I like it, the fact that X-Men has always had this wonderful ability to be compatible with a lot of real world issues.
Yeah.
Particularly political real world issues. And what's great is that even though it's set still in the 90s, it's still basically the same story of its mutants. But you can still fit that to a huge number of things going on in the news right now. It fits so well.
I did want to talk about Henry Gyrick. They go talk to that guy, the guy who killed Xavier, and he says like, "Oh, you're just a fad. You're trendy. Look at my mutant friend." I'm like, if you just replace the word mutant with like LGBT, it absolutely matches up with like today's fucking climate.
Yeah.
Like, and some of the rhetoric that they put in that show, I'm like, damn, dude, I feel like this is absolutely what homophobes think. It's like, you're our extinction. I'm like, dude, relax.
I don't know if you guys have seen it, but they released like a new TV spot for this for like the next couple of episodes. Cap's shield. makes an
Captain America shield. Cool. I mean, well, we've talked about the Easter eggs before, about how they have like the Spider-Man reference in there during the first episode. So I'm like, it's possible we might be getting other characters and other stuff showing up.
There is like a brief clip of missiles coming down from the sky, and Wolverine and Kurt are stood next to each other looking at them.
Is that what is that a reference from or to? I'm not sure what thing that
there is. There's a comic, there's an X-Men comic cover that's very similar.
Okay, cool, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to whatever they have like more in here. I don't know how they're gonna top this last episode, because again, like, all right, so I did want to bring up that episode one more time, because there was one thing that I thought was really cool. Visually speaking, anyway. So the first time that the monster attacks, like it shoots the statues of Xavier and Magneto, and you notice that the Xavier statue crushes like a whole handful of I thought that was actually kind of a cool the statue of Xavier falls, and like a bunch of people are sitting there like. And then they just get destroyed. They get like completely mashed. And I'm like, oh, damn, dude.
It's like, kind of interesting, because having Magneto does bring up like there are some flaws in what Charles Xavier wants to do. Like I think it's a noble sort of idea. But his thing of we have to be better, we have to be good enough so they'll accept us. I'm like, no, dude, they're supposed to just accept you because you're people. The thing of like we have to act a certain way that is agreeable to them. You know, it's the concept of like, you know, racist people saying, oh, that's a good black person, that's a bad one, he's one of the good ones. It's that. It's like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah, straight up. Like when Scott was doing the interview, and he's like, yeah, you guys are like, you don't know, or you don't like this because you're normal, because you guys are, you know, you're shitty people, and we have to fucking pretend to be like you. And I'm like, you know, I always wonder, like, for people like Leech or maybe like Nightcrawler, for, you know, the ones who actively look different and don't have like the say in how they look, like, okay, I kind of get, oh, you look different, you're creepy. But for fuck's sake, man, he's just a guy with red glasses on. Like, it's a chick that can read your mind. It's a lady who can control the weather.
The guy behind the camera during that like interview was like, when they're stood up, like, can you, your glasses are affecting with the light, can you take them? I was like, no, I can't. You guys, I'll decimate you all if I do that.
Yeah, it's like that kind of shit. I'm like, yeah, they have powers, but they still are normal human. Like, they are just fucking people, for God's sake, Pete. Like, my God.
That's one thing I wanted to mention, that I like that this show has kept up a little bit what the original did, which is most superhero cartoons, you don't get to see a huge amount of, like, your superhero just kind of chilling at home. Like, whereas with the X-Men, because they're all living together in this house, you get these weird, lovely moments where, like, you know, Rogue and Gambit are having a bit of a tiff because Gambit suspects what she's doing. And they walk past and, like, Wolverine's just in the living room, just, like, chilling. Like, he's like, I got nothing better to do. Or, you know, like, Jean and Scott are having their massive argument and the rest are just having a game of basketball outside.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come on, guys. We're having a good time here.
See, I think that was also... so that brings up something. Is that really unnecessary with them all living in the same mansion? Remember when they were in the Danger Room, right? It was during the Mr. Sinister episode. And Morph was like, oh, looks like Rogue is really trying out, like, really doing stuff with a new bot. And he's like, and he keeps clicking through it, saying Rogue and Magneto, Rogue and Magneto. I'm like, that is unnecessary, you dick. they both know, like, it seems like both him and Wolverine know what's going on, and Gambit's in denial. And they're just like, let's fuck with him as much as we can. That is so messed up to me.
When we were talking about Morph earlier, I wanted to mention that, that bit when Wolverine tells him to hit the showers, I'm going to go find out what's happening here. Morph has that line where he goes like, and then it was just Morph. It's like, oh, you really wanted to hang out with Wolverine for the rest of the day, didn't you? You're like, hey, come on, dude.
Morph is becoming my favorite character in this show. Like, Gambit is my favorite character, but Morph is creeping up the list just because of his one-liners.
He's very much like a Deadpool-esque character, because he's just like, he's just a dude with a mouth, and it's funny to listen to him just kind of go off.
And he's so harsh. It's like if you had a friend who did shit like that, who brought up stuff like, you know, your dead friend, or the fact that, like, hey, this girl that you fancy is pregnant. And, like, was it when he turns into Jean Grey, he makes her belly get bigger and bigger as he's talking. Yeah. It's like, this is fucked up, my dude.
And I love how they just, like, the whole X-Men team just kind of lets him, like, you know, Cyclops calls him on. He's like, don't be a creep, Morph, when he does the Professor X thing. But yeah. I love how they all just kind of let him do it. No, like, they're not going to stop him.
They just bat it off. That's just Morph being Morph.
I'm kind of amazed that, like, he didn't turn into Nathan Scott or Summers or whatever it is, like, when the baby disappeared, like, Morph comes in, like, as the baby going, where, I've got a virus, and I'm in the future.
Oh, dude, he would have been killed. He would have been, at least I would have killed him.
Scott would have taken his sunglasses off.
do we talk about the baby a bit? Because how did you guys feel about the whole plot line where the baby's coming, but Magneto's being attacked? So it's like, oh, what do we do? Because I was a little bit like, I think there's a clear priority here, guys. And it's not getting Scott, making both Vogue and Scott leave this fight.
Yes.
To go to the fucking hospital.
Like, yeah, I'm just my guys.
Two massively, like, overpowered mutants leaving this big fight.
So my question, I think it's just because, like, so for the comedy or for the, you know, the storyline, because, like, why wasn't Wolverine at the UN as well? Like, he's probably one of the most useful guys to be there. And why the fuck wasn't he there?
Yeah, no, it's all a bit weird, to be honest. Like, there's that moment where Scott says, like, I shouldn't have left. I could have helped prevent this. And I think Storm is like, oh, no one could have known. It's like, no, he's right. He shouldn't have left. Him leaving was a stupid idea.
I love how during obviously got to join that attack, and Jean and Wolverine are at the mansion, and she's like, he's coming!" And like, Wolverine said, "Who? Apocalypse?" It's like,
yeah, that was great. It's like, why would you think Apocalypse
of all things? I also, like, I don't know why, but my little fucked up brain like had a moment where, you know, like, the baby's coming, and like, Wolverine's like, "Ah," and I kind of be like, "Ah, that's why you smell so fucked up." I haven't been able to tell you, Gene, but you smelled real fucked up for the last 9 months.
I also expected, like, you know, when they're like trying to convince the doctor at the hospital to deliver the baby, and they're like, Rogue, just use your powers and absorb his, like, surgical knowledge. Just get Wolverine to do it. He's got claws.
Peaky, I'm gonna give you a knife. You go commit a, you go do a C-section.
I feel like it's gonna
turn into a double homicide.
I think that was one of the things that I didn't like about it, was that it felt like such a non-issue, because I'm like, right, for a start, he's not the only doctor in the hospital. Like, there's a whole Hippocratic Oath thing, so, like, getting someone to treat her should be fine. Maybe it's there to sort of, like, you know, have a mirror to some sort of Roe v. Wade sort of issues that have been going on in the States right now, but, like, in reverse, I guess. But I was like, you can get another doctor. Slash, look, you should have a doctor involved and a medical team involved when you are giving birth. But it is also a thing that the humans could just do. Yeah. So, like, in a pinch, I've seen enough sitcoms where babies are born in the back of taxis.
If it comes down to it, a child is coming regardless. Like, and someone can, as long as someone's there to catch it.
Like, you say that, my best friend delivered my other best friend's baby on the stairs of their house. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, right. So like, you know, it doesn't require you to leave the fucking UN where a man is trying to murder someone and multiple people, and you got people with energy weapons going off. Oh no, I've got to get to my baby.
Yeah, no. Also, the police in that are really fucking worthless. Like, the guys busting in the UN, and the police don't even start. Like, I'm like, that's the one time where everyone's okay with you shooting the crowd, and you didn't.
Yeah. The one time you expect Americans to do the American thing, and they don't.
They're white. No. In all seriousness, though, yeah, I should be like, what the fuck? Why are the police even there if they're not even doing anything?
Yeah,
no,
I wanted to point out, I don't know if you guys spotted him, but episode 5, there's a cameo from another X-Men.
Oh?
On Geonosha. Which one
is that? I think there's a few, isn't there?
Multi-Man.
Yes, I did see Multi-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like...
I appreciated a lot of the weird mutant dancing that we got. I thought that was pretty cool.
I liked
the mutants, like, dancing outside in the city, and then when they're at the party, that was kind of cool.
I wanted to bring this up. So so that with that one, I'm like, okay, maybe mutant dance. You can dance in the air. You can fly. Like if you're like Nightcrawler, you can, you know, teleport around or whatever. And like we see Jubilee in the nightclub, like doing, instead of like glow stick dancing, she's literally just like shooting off fireworks. Yeah. So, okay, fine. Maybe that's like some mutant dance. But there's a part in episode 5 where she talks, where Gambit is being explained this whole situation from Rogue. And she's like, well, Eric used to talk about we would have mutant art, mutant culture, mutant fashion. I'm like, isn't that just fashion? Like, isn't just because you're painting, just because you're painting with 3 paintbrushes and using your powers doesn't make it not painting.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I guess it's a bit like Wakanda. It's like he's talking about like how they're going to set up Genosia or something like it, and they're going to make their own culture, and like, you know, people will recognize this as, oh, it's from the mutant country.
But I also like during that whole like conversation of Rogue explaining everything to Gambit, he sat there flicking cards into the fireplace.
Like... Sometimes they weigh too heavily on the gambling puns. Like when she said, "You always know the odds, Gambit." Shut up! All right, his name's Gambit. We get it. Like I kind of want to go, oh come on, shit.
We know he's just
Cajun and card man.
Like we know he's a street hustler. You don't have to remind us all the time.
Yeah. I mean, but he does it all the time. Like he's like, Gambit sees your bit and raises it. I'm like he does it himself. So you know.
Yeah, and I think they're running towards it, and he's like, never much like roulette. I'm like, what does that mean, Gambit? What does that fucking mean?
I'm not really sure. Like I guess it's like because roulette is a random chance kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this doesn't work very much for me, Gambit. But you know, you do you. I guess it's better than you spending all your time talking about crawfish or something.
Or beignets.
Oh yeah, because there is a bit with beignets, isn't there? Because you stop eating your beignets, Gambit. Like, oh come on, you can't stop Gambit having the beignets. I'll go have some gumbo later then. Boil up a crawfish, slip into a po' boy, then go down the alligator swamp.
I mean, that's pretty much, but yeah. So, like, it is a little one note, but I think that's, like, you know, that's part of his charm, or that's part of like why we all like him.
Yeah, he's so fucking cool. I do like to see Gambit out of his costume sometimes. Like, I've heard that some people were upset about the crop top, but I'm just like, I'll get over it.
Like, I'm like, oh come on, it was the 90s. Like, get over it. People
did that. People
literally walked down the street wearing that kind of stuff in the 90s. And I got
as it turns out, if you go back to watch fucking Friday the 13th, you'll see fucking Johnny Depp wearing a fucking crop top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, like.
I'm sorry.
He's a bit of a fuckboy. We know this about Gambit. Like, and I think, he's got abs. He wants to show him off. Like, he's fine. He's fine. Don't be
and
mad
anyone
about
who doesn't like that, anyone who's like, oh, that's fucking. I feel like, dude, maybe you need to look inward and be like, why does that make you uncomfortable?
I also feel like the people complaining about like the outfit choices are people that didn't grow up in the 90s.
Possibly. There are some little bits of it that I do have a thing of like, it's not quite 90s. Like I think particularly with Sunspot, some of the ways he speaks, I'm like, this is a bit too Zoomer, like, or even too millennial. Yeah, like, there's a bit where he's like, oh, it's been a day. And I'm just like, it's not quite the right phrasing for it.
Like,
well, and, you know, again, it's been 30 years. Like, the writers are now have aged a bit. And now they are like, they're trying to be like, fuck, what did we say when I was a kid or when I was a teenager?
That's radical.
Yeah, shit like that.
I want some more cowabungas in there.
Cowabunga. Yeah, but like stuff like that. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, the X-Men are supposed to be in their 20s. Like, the only one who's actually a teenager still is Jubilee. So I'm like, she's the one who I could see saying radical or bogus.
I had a real like transatlantic moment in the Motendo episode when she mentions that it's her 18th birthday. And I was like, awesome, right, go to the bars. And I was like, oh no.
Can't do that.
You gotta go to an arcade.
I got Magneto's like, I don't want to go to an arcade. She's like sat there in her room mimicking Magneto. I'm like, that's fucking brilliant. Like,
I think Magneto would love it because he'd be amazing at pinball.
Yeah.
He'd be a cheater at pinball.
I feel like, but Magneto, like when it comes to Jubilee, Magneto is the disapproving dad.
He's almost like the grandfather that you don't see. It's like your dad's dad, and like he was in the war, and he really thinks you're soft, and like probably thinks you're a bit gay, and he's just a bit of a dickhead about it.
Yeah,
like Hank Hill's dad.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I forgot what I was going to say there, but yeah, there was something about Jubilee, and I think I was going back to the night, the whole like there's not enough '90s references, but I don't know. I lost that train of thought, so.
I appreciate that they remembered like what consoles were around in the 90s for the Motendo episode. I was like, good, it's a cartridge-based game. Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, I'm happy with that. And I like that when they started flicking to some graphics, it was sort of like Sega Genesis / Mega Drive graphics. I very much appreciate that pixel art style.
I do want to bring up this. I really did like when they go into the Motendo game that there's an old Jubilee that's been like alive for however many years, like running around in the cyber world. Like we get to see old Jubilee and like how her powers are gonna like evolve and shit like that. Like she's sitting there skating on her fucking light and shit like that.
I also like that was the original voice actress from the original run voicing her.
Oh, cool.
So, it was kind of like a bit of a passing the torch type thing as well. Yeah, and I saw online
that is the actress for Jubilee not the same person then? I didn't realize that. Oh
no! I saw it online. They did a watch party together. They sat like on FaceTime and did a watch party of the episode. I'm like, that's fucking cool, guys.
That's real nice. I like that.
That is nice, man. Like, and that's like you said, Peaky, that's a really cool way for them to kind of like, it's almost like a spiritual way of passing the torch. Like it's the last voice actor telling the next voice actor, like, hey, you know, it's cool that you're doing this.
Yeah.
not that chick would have any say, but you know what I mean?
It's good to include that person. They've done really well on the voices, because I know some of them are the originals, and then some of them they've got replacements in. The replacements are good.
Yeah, like, Wolverine is a replacement. I know that. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Gambit, Rogue, I want to say, Beast, and then Cyclops. I think all those four are guaranteed Storm, the same Storm people. The
same as well.
True, yes. And then Magneto's changed, and then, Wolverine's changed. I think Morph, like everyone else, they're all different voices. But really good episode, really good episodes, really good show. Like, seeing the character development of just all of them from, like, both, like, Jubilee, Wolverine, or, well, not so much Wolverine this episode, or this series so far, but Jubilee, fucking Cyclops, Storm, like, all of them having these different character arcs that are all, like, very deeply, like, important to them and kind of, like, to their character. I think it's, like, really cool to see that. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're doing with it. Now it comes to the part of the episode where I want to ask, where do you guys think we're going with it? Harrison, where do you think it's taking it?
Yeah, okay, so there's got to be a big reaction to the Genosha attack. I personally think that we're going to find that Magneto is still alive, and I think he's going to go nuts. I think he's going to be like, I trusted you, I tried to give you a chance, and you spat in my face, and now I'm killing everyone. So we're going to be onto that. And there's going to be a series of, I guess, people trying to stop him. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Are we going to see, like, Madeline and sort of Jean put their differences aside, perhaps enter some sort of throuple with Scott, and then decide to work together to take down Magneto. Throw in there.
for some good measure.
Why doesn't Madeline and Logan? Why doesn't Madeline and Logan just get together? She looks like Jean.
Well, Madeline has a son with Scott. That's not how it works.
Oh shit!
A little bit of me is like, relationships don't work like this, but there is a thing of like, one of the genes could just go off with Logan and then one could stay with Scott and they'd just be happy and they'd be all right, be chill.
I mean, I guess it kind of solves everyone's problem. Like, if Madeline and Scott get together, you know, they have a son in common, and then Jean gets with Logan, I guess that kind of solves both of their problems, but I don't know, would that be something we all want to see?
In the real world, it would be weird. You know, it would be very strange.
This is a comic book world.
Yeah. So, you know, you kind of can't take people like that. I'm just like, well, it's even now. It's not quite how it works. But it's possible. I did like that line. There's a bit where Jean says, I gave up galaxies for you. And I was like, yeah, that probably wasn't the right choice. you could have been a literal god, but you were like, oh no, this man with eyes that I can't see, he's the one I like.
That was a cool thing. So the reference that she said, like, oh well, I told him to take his glasses off. Then both like recounting the story of how she became like not the Phoenix anymore, and like she said he took his glasses off, and she like used her powers to hold back his eyesight. Like that was something I'm like, is that a reference to X-Men 3, or is that something that actually happened in the comic books? Because that's either way that happens in that movie.
I think it's happening like multiple different avenues of X-Men.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the only time I've seen that is in that one X3 X-Men United movie, and I'm like, is that a thing?
Yeah, like, cool. I'm pretty sure it is. It's nice how true it's being to like all the other X-Men stories that we know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how even though like again we didn't really talk about it in the last series in like the first five seasons of the original series, but it doesn't really seem to matter because it's all fitting in really really well. And the only thing that people are having problems with is, oh, Gambit looks gay. Ooh, they're fucking, you know, Morph. What if he's trans? I'm like, dude, shut up.
Morph could be anyone he wants to be, so therefore he could be anything he wants to be. Like,
yeah, so whatever, dude. The idea of that doesn't really apply to mutants, especially when they're shapeshifters.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, at that point you start saying that kids can't play Pokemon because Ditto is non-binary. Like, it doesn't make sense, my guys. Just like leave it be.
Yeah, just get over it, basically. The world is changing, and you need to stop being fucking Bolivar Trask, start being fucking Charles Xavier.
Yeah, it's X-Men. No, the entire point is you accept people
Start being Magneto.
There you go. Be better.
No, that's what causes school shootings.
Yeah, no, that's a problem. We have too many fucking Magnetos who think that the world is not changing in their favor. Anyway, moving on. So, Peaky.
At least Magneto, I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, true. But yeah, Peaky, where do you think the show is going? Give us now, tap into your fucking, like, see the future powers and tell us what's going to happen.
I'll do the Charles thing. I've said it a couple of times. I think we're going to see Cable back, potentially, because... Why give us that little snippet of Cable having like been like forced back,
mm-hmm.
Obviously to the future type thing, just as the attack happens. I think Cable's gonna do some time travel shit, get to Geonosha before try and go a little bit further back before the attack and warn them. I'd love to see who has created this Sentinel, because Trask is in prison from episode one. So
guarantee that's from the future. I don't think it's going to be Trask. I think it's going to be like another Master Mold from the Days of Future Past future.
Yeah. Somehow the Sentinel was traveled back in time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could totally see that happening. I want to see, obviously, like, we're going to get the outcome of what happens with Storm. It's going to happen, but I do want her to get her powers back and her to kind of like come back from this trip with Forge. Possibly Forge come back to the mansion with her. Mm. And
someone's got to rebuild the X-Jet.
And then obviously like she finds out what has happened on Geonosha, and then like they kind of like they try to formulate a plan. I feel like we're going to get that, like I said, that snippet of I've mentioned about Logan and Nightcrawler together looking at missiles, potentially missiles aimed at the mansion, because it didn't look like Geonosha skyline or like where the missiles were coming from. It didn't look like there's like a couple of trees on either side of the frame. So potentially, you know, maybe the X-Men get attacked somewhere else. But I can see Gogan's going to brush those missiles off easily. Anyway, like he'll just stand there and just be like, yeah. It sounds a real shitty move, but I could see them doing it. I kind of could see them finishing it off as like a cliffhanger.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
But I also got when Harrison's saying about Magneto being alive. Leech was holding on to him, and Leech can take away mutant powers.
So that's another thing. Magneto might not. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, so Leech like hides him from the Sentinel by taking it. Yeah, very, very close.
So yeah, they survived, but if, like,
if any of what I've mentioned comes true, I should become a writer for the show. I think at that point. Because I didn't just predict the Madigan gene thing. I did predict quite a few things, so, like, throughout the series so far. So I think all three of us have said it now. Not quite sure how they're going to top this episode, but I know they're going to do it in a big way.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll come with, like, either it's going to be another death or a reveal that someone actually wasn't dead. Like, maybe it's, you know, again, the reveal that Magneto wasn't dead, or that, hell, they'll come back at the end of season two, or the end of season one, and they'll be like, all right, hey, Charles, he's back. And turns out he didn't leave that will. It was a lie. Bum, bum, bum. You know, some shit like that. They'll have some, like, crazy kind of, like, pull the wool over your eyes kind of moment, yeah, where everything we've been led to believe this whole season has been complete bullshit.
But I would like to see possibly someone from the X-Men confront the UN.
Mm. Yeah, I'd be interested if maybe the X-Men, like, some people, members of the X-Men, start going, like, you know what, I'm with Magneto on this now, or Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Do you think we'll get any of that? Are we going to see, like, Mystique? And are we going
to see? I was just about to say, do you think we'll see Mystique come back? Because what happened to Mystique in the original run?
I don't think she died. I feel like she just...
No,
like,
I don't think she died.
Did a usual thing of she's around, causes trouble, and then kind of disappears mysteriously.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are theorizing that that woman that was at on Geonosha is Mystique, the blonde
hair. Oh, yeah, the one who's supposed to be from the UN.
Yeah, that, people keep thinking she's Mystique in hiding. It would make sense with her behavior.
Mm.
She's been very sus. Like, the times we've seen her on screen, she's been really sus.
Mm.
Okay, like, so it says not, here apparently okay. in a quadrilogy of episodes called Beyond Good and Evil in the original 90s series, apparently it claims that she sacrifices herself by taking a bullet for Nightcrawler, because it's revealed that he's her son. And then she falls off a dam, and it's presumed that she dies. Although Rogan Nightcrawler,
typical comic book like ending of, oh no, they're dead, but where's the body?
Yeah.
Also, they don't talk about that a whole lot in the fifth episode, nor in like the series. But yeah, apparently Nightcrawler and Rogue are like brother and sister, because like Mystique was the one who trained Rogue, and then Nightcrawler was her son.
Yeah. Yeah, that does come up. Although, interestingly, I was just having a look at a character, Destiny, who's the character that can reveal the future, and she's blind. Apparently, in a 2023 storyline, it was revealed that Destiny was the one who actually gave birth to Nightcrawler, rather than Mystique. She conceived Nightcrawler with Mystique after Mystique used her abilities to take on a male form.
Which explains why he's blue, but yeah, she's not technically the mother as she is. That's a whole... Jesus Christ, that's a whole... Yeah, I'm like... That's a weird comic booky world.
That's a whole episode of Maury right there.
That's some Jerry Springer shit right there.
Mystique, you are the father. No, bullshit. I never touched her. I'm saying, now that's a question. I mean, how would that work? Because if you like turn it, like, let's say you're Mystique and you turn into whatever, some random, you know, Joe Blow, some random dude off the street.
Yeah.
Like, in theory, you now have a copy of his DNA, maybe, or like it kind of like morph if he transforms into someone. Like, he kind of has a copy of their powers or DNA. So, would it still technically be his, or that's
Yeah, I don't know, because like that suggests that like you kind of remake organs. It's not just like you look like them, it's like you have fully functional organs. So, like,
yeah,
if you didn't have a pancreas, could you just turn into someone who does have a pancreas?
That's yeah, straight up. Or like if like she transforms into someone who still has their wisdom teeth, will she still have them, or her tonsils or shit like that?
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
So I'm like, that's that adds a whole new like level to this. Like, whoa.
Another question. Considering we've potentially lost Magneto, we've definitely lost Gambit. Do you reckon we're gonna see any other members of the X-Men? Obviously, see what's happened, and then come to the mansion to help.
Okay, so we're getting more additions.
Yeah, do you reckon we're going to get more additions?
I hope so. I'd like to see Colossus. I've been a fan of Colossus for a long time.
Iceman. I would love because they have him in the picture of the original X-Men. So
you're right. They do keep having Iceman. Some versions of Iceman are like some kind of stuff.
What's his name? They're like two brothers. They're short, bold people.
Two brothers.
In the picture of the original X-Men.
Well, there's in the original X-Men picture, there's, I think, Angel, there's Jean Grey, there's Cyclops, there's Beast, and then there's, what's his name? Iceman. Like, that's the original.
There's two others in that as well, I think. They're like brothers, I think. And they're bold.
I'm trying to see if I can find an image of that, because I don't remember seeing two bald guys in that picture.
Yeah, nah, dude. Apparently, like, it's just the five of them. Like, that's the only picture I'm able to find.
Oh, right.
And yeah, it's again, Cyclops, Angel, Jean.
I thought there was just two more in the picture.
Might have been like Professor X sitting in the foreground, but yeah. And they all have like those skull cap things that make them look bald. So
yeah.
But at any rate,
It doesn't hover over that picture for very long, so it's very hard to like get a glimpse of who's in that picture.
Hmm. See, if Disney Plus wasn't being a shit, I'd be able to screen share, but for whatever reason, they have like this thing that doesn't allow you to do it. It's just a black screen when you try.
It doesn't allow it on Discord either.
Yeah, because Disney's a piece of crap. But yeah, so anyway, the point is I would like to see Iceman come back. Colossus would be cool. If Mystique wants to show up, fuck it, dude. Let's get Mystique in here.
You have to see Angel.
Angel, but at this point, he'd be Archangel probably, but let's see. Personally,
you're gonna need from his Apocalypse run.
Yeah, personally, I don't think she was ever in this series, but I want to see Shadowcat. I'd be super down for having Shadowcat show up.
I'd be cool to see Kitty.
Because yeah, I don't think she was a character in the '90s, but still, I would love to have her. Or well, actually, that's not true. She was in the Days of Future Past run came long before that.
Yeah, so, she was around, but I think you're right. I don't think she was put into the cartoon. But yeah, it'd be nice to have Kitty Pryde around.
Yeah, I'd be down for that, and like have her little fucking dragon thing too. I don't know why she has one of those, but I think from the Savage Land. But yeah, give her her dragon too.
It's in it from another dimension.
It might be.
Yes, I believe it is. Isn't it from Crowley, the same dimension?
Isn't it from the same dimension magic can go to?
I think you're right.
I did not know that.
If I'm thinking correctly, because they've been a part of the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comics, Kitty and the
Dragon. No kidding.
Yeah, they joined they joined the Guardians at one point.
They did a bunch of stuff. They were in what was it called? There was a weird Excalibur, the weird British superhero team, like Captain Britain and Psylocke and Phoenix 2, I believe. Yes, another of Scott and Jean's kids. It was an interesting run. It also had, did it have Howard the Duck? It had a duck in it. I don't think it was Howard the Duck, though.
Apparently, in some runs, they've had Nightcrawler join. They've had Rogue and fucking Jubilee be on Excalibur. Like Emma Frost. Like they've had various characters in that.
Okay, here we go. So it's called Lockheed.
Lockheed, that's it.
Lockheed.
In the comics, the X-Men were kidnapped into space by the alien brood and taken to a brood colonized planet. On this planet, Kitty Pryde met Lockheed, who resembled a cat-sized purple dragon from a fairy tale she'd recently told to young Ilya Rasputin, Magic. He saved her from the brood and then returned to Earth with her.
Dude, that'd be the shit to have your own little fucking pocket-sized dragon.
Yeah, he sits on her shoulder a lot.
Mm.
And then I think
he looks kind of when
he's flying
looks
about.
Like Figment. He looks like Figment from that one.
He does look like Figment, yes.
He can grow back to normal size when he's flying about, and he can obviously attack that way, and then he'll return to a smaller size to sit on her shoulder.
Mm. So yeah, I think we definitely we need to see if Shadowcat would be cool, Colossus would be great. I don't know. I wonder if we want to see more villains, because I'd like to see Pyro or
Avalanche.
Fucking Juggernaut show up.
Oh, yeah, so Juggernaut would be good.
Avalanche. Yeah, like have the actual Brotherhood show up and be like, hey, so Magneto, what do you want us to do? You want and like well, maybe have them join the X-Men? Like, I don't know.
Can you imagine the Brotherhood going, we saw what happened to Genosha, where's Magneto? They tell him Magneto's dead. Are the potential Brotherhood and X-Men team up?
I could definitely see that. Like they've done it in X-Men Evolution. They had the Brotherhood team up with the X-Men before.
Yeah, bring
in my Toad, man.
Dude, a 90s Toad? What would that even look like?
It looked like Jason Mewes, but like that could jump.
Jason Mewes, but could jump.
I'd be down with a temporary Brotherhood and X-Men team up just to kind of like, you know. Obviously, you know, in memory of like Magneto, and to kind of like get a little bit of justice for what happened on Genosha.
I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some of that. Like every mutant villain just starts coming. Yeah, because we saw Genosha had. I remember his name when I see him, and I forget his name. Leader of the Hellfire Club, Kevin Bacon played him.
Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah, he's
there. He's Emma Frost is there. He's dancing with Emma Frost.
Yeah.
Oh shit! Is that who that was? I was wondering who that Ichabod Crane looking motherfucker was.
Yeah, that was Shaw and Emma Frost.
Okay.
Yeah, because like that, they for some reason still have their Hellfire costumes on. Because I mean, like Emma Frost feels more understandable. It looks good. He does look a little bit odd. It's like, all right, mate.
He reminds me of his outfit and the way he's designed in this reminds me of Vandal Savage from the DC animated movies.
Very much so, yeah. I almost kind of was like, wait a minute.
Like the clean cut like facial hair, the normal hair and the outfit, very Vandal Savage like.
Nice,
especially from the movie Doom. Like you look at Vandal Savage there, you look at Sebastian Shaw. They're very similar looking designs.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of on purpose. Like, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but...
I also feel like that's because obviously, like, the 90s and they're like, what was Justice League Doom? That was like, what, 2000, early 2000s?
Mm.
Yeah, something like that,
That's cool. I didn't realize that. So, let me see here. I don't know. I think we pretty much reached the end of it. Is there any, like, last thoughts you wanted to have? Any last things you wanted to say about the show or anything you didn't get to say during the story? Harrison first?
Was there? We mentioned we want to see magic show up. Morph does turn into magic, while the Goblin Queen is rampaging. Which I love the fact they bring up the fact that she's the Goblin Queen. I felt justified because I mentioned it last time we talked about X-Men, and I was a bit like, did I make this up? Have I imagined this? But no, it didn't happen. It'd be interesting to see. I do wonder whether they'll bring in other Marvel characters, like you've mentioned, seeing Cap Shield. I was talking about this earlier. I love the X-Men. I find the X-Men very difficult to fit into the MCU. And to be not just the MCU, but the Marvel extended comic book universe in general. Because sometimes there are things where, like, how come people are still, like, prejudiced against mutants when there's all these superheroes? Yeah, and like there's also all these superheroes you could just stand up and go like, "Hey, what are you doing? Like, now stop that!" Like, you know, yeah, like Captain America could stand up and go, "No, I know these guys; they're good guys. Fucking leave them
like
alone."
Wolverine's a member of the fucking Avengers. Like, relax.
Yeah, yeah, like calm down about this. So it obviously they could do it, and I think there could be things that could be enjoyable about it. I personally would like to see this cartoon series. I know the other characters did appear in the original 90s one. I'd like to keep it to an X-Men story because I think X-Men's more interesting when it's just their story and you don't complicate it with like, oh yeah, an Iron Man's flying around here somewhere but refuses to help.
Yeah, I mean, that does kind of... So, to kind of like build on your point, when you have moments like that where it's like the Genosha genocide, like when it's like straight up you're watching live on TV, oh shit, like this, they're getting attacked by this giant Sentinel. Where was the Fantastic Four? Where was Spider-Man at that point, you know? Mm. Like, why didn't they come help at when they could have? And I agree. It's not really necessary. Yeah. Just let them be their own story and let them kind of have their own thing. Also, like they can be in the universe, but we don't necessarily need to have them show up.
Oh, it's like just because we've seen Cap's shield doesn't mean Cap's in it.
Yeah, he could still be frozen at this point.
But right. Sam Wilson's in it.
Oh, you're
going to put Falcon.
I think the shot you see is Cap's shield just comes flying and sticks into the ground. So, like,
could it be someone has it?
Yeah. Morph.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good point. Could always be Morph. Yeah.
What if Morph, like, quickly turns it, like, transforms into Cap, throws the shield, and it gets stuck in the ground, and then he morphs back? Like, maybe it's like in a fight scene or something. Like, Morph is changing.
So I got a cool idea. Is that so? Let's say Wolverine having a Cap. Like, let's say that they tease Cap. Like, oh well, you got sent this Wolverine. It's like Cap shield or something like that, or like it, like have something like that that kind of implies that maybe Captain America will be there. But then it's just a way to get to trap Wolverine and be like, oh yeah, no, it turns out Steve Rogers died a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it'd actually be kind of a cool way to be like, yeah, there are other Marvels, but. And or, you know what? Actually, there was one thing I wanted to talk about. Is if you guys knew about this, because again, in episode 5, during the interview scene with Scott and the lady, she says, "Oh yeah, I want to talk about your relationship with Marvel Girl." I'm like, "Who the fuck is Marvel Girl?"
Yeah, no one calls her Marvel Girl anymore. Yeah,
I don't ever remember a time when Jean Grey was called Marvel Girl. So what the hell is that?
I think that's like her original like Golden Age name.
That was Marvel Golden Age comics.
Yeah, it's a little bit like how like Reed Richards is Mr. Fantastic, but it's kind of a dumb name, so no one calls him it. Like, yeah. it's easier just to call her Jean Grey. But yeah, way back when she had that green dress that she shows at one point, she's like, "Oh, remember when I last wore this?"
Carry on.
That sort of got to the point that Marvel Girl, it's old. Yeah. Strange that a character would use that, but it feels like almost a little bit like, see, we know what we're talking about. We know X-Men.
Like, yeah, you go, guys. Like, all y'all who think that we're not fucking fans, we know. We called him Magnus. Yeah, no. Nah. But what were you going to say, Peaky?
Have you noticed with the opening credits? Because nobody skips the intro. Nobody skips.
Oh, hell no. No, absolutely not. Not with that badass, like, the fucking guitar solo part at the end.
I had to get through like 5 episodes yesterday because I forgot it was happening. So I was just like, just fucking finish this. I've got shit to do.
You might not have noticed, but I don't know if Gilbert's noticed. The opening intro has changed with each episode.
Yeah. So I'll kind of give you a little spoiler. In the first episode, they show like, you know, the normal like Cyclops, Wolverine, Storm, all that. And then at the very end, it's like Professor X. And it's like, wait, what? That doesn't make sense. So second episode, then it's like, again, now it starts off with Magneto, Cyclops, Storm is gone. Or no, Storm's still there. And then it's, Jean Grey, you know, whatever. They go through all of that. Then I think they also add Morph and Bishop. And then in the following episode, when Bishop leaves, they don't put Bishop in there anymore. Like that when it turns out that Jean Grey was actually Madeline Pryor, like they change her hair from like the down look to the ponytail.
Yeah.
So it's like Morph, tiny short.
Morph was in the intro from episode 1, but like Bishop was then in it. And then when Bishop left, Bishop was no longer in the intro. Like I noticed it watching episode 5 and I was like,
and then they add little bits, little like either like references or bits to like other episodes, like as opposed to just doing the same like old thing of like, you know, Cyclops shoots like 3 Sentinels or Storm like launches her lightning or whatever. Like they're doing like they'll show more fighting Mr. Sinister or they'll show like
in the original, it was Jubilee running from Sentinels and running into like the chain link fence. This time it's Sunspot.
Yeah. So yeah, like and each episode has little tiny differences that kind of like match up to what's. So if the next episode doesn't have it's probably not going to have Gambit in the opening, and if it doesn't have Magneto, then you know that he's dead too.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
very very subtle, but like when you watch each intro, you can see, you kind of tell that something's changed and something's not quite right there.
It's pretty great. What were you going to say, Harrison?
Something that I realize that I do want to mention about the show. I am happy with most of it. I don't think Beast has had enough to do yet. I want more Beast. Like, he's just kind of he was fixing the time thing. He was involved in the episode where they reveal that Madeline is a clone and that, you know, Nate gets his techno virus. I'm not happy. I want more Beast. I want more action Beast. A more Beast-centered story.
I did like the bit in episode one where he like starts controlling the Sentinel from like within the body. That was, and then like the Sentinel just froze Wolverine into it. I was like, okay, that was actually pretty cool. Like he was using their own like size against them. It's like, okay, Beast, like fair enough.
It was cool.
But I agree. We do need some more Beast.
Yeah.
I think he said so. Like, I think this is the start of a beautiful involuntary friendship.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's a Casablanca reference.
Yeah, it's nice Beast dialogue. I do appreciate that. It's a weird bit where he, I think it's during the Goblin Queen section where he's like, I'm not a fan of Lewis Carroll, which is like an interesting literary reference for him. I'm just like, give me more Beast, like all the time, more Beast, please.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Beast, like right now, what they're doing with him is just making him like, oh, he's smart because Roberto wakes up and he's listening to fucking Mozart. Like he talks about like, oh, I share his love of Dante's Inferno, but it's like, dude, we get it. You're fucking intelligent. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very much. He's Frasier. He's the Frasier of the X-Men.
Yeah.
But the only thing I didn't like with Beast was he had a very goofy line with the. When he was looking at like Madeline or whatever, and he had that thing of like, all work, like artists, scientists have a signature, and this one is for a man that can only be described as sinister. I'm like, yeah, we know he's literally called Mr. Sinister. He says it himself.
That's
like, I'm pretty sure we've seen him before. Like, has he not been in the? I don't remember him. Was he in the '90s cartoon as well? Like the original one?
Yeah, the whole Morph arc. Like,
yeah. Okay, so yes. Morph. Yeah. So then they've met him before.
Yeah. Mr. Sinister is cool. Like,
I want to see him come back in some way.
Oh, he will. He will.
I imagine he will. Do you know what? Like, I was a bit stupid because like as soon as the technovirus happened, I was like, okay, the baby's Cable. A little bit of me, when Sinister stole him, I was like, ooh, are they going to do Nathan Gray, who's X-Man, who's like, was like a, once again, they made a child of Jean Grey and Scott Summers. This time, it was done during the Age of the Apocalypse, I believe. Yes. Mr. Sinister, like, genetically creates him. And he's a kind of badass mutant. He's, like, super cool, super powerful, very 90s. And I thought that would be kind of fun to try and have X-Man in it. But it seems like, they're just sticking to Cable at the moment. Which I'm disappointed by, but I can live with.
I feel like it's because a lot of people know Cable more. And then after the success of the Deadpool movie, I'm like, we're definitely going to want to bring Cable in here.
Yeah, no, I'd like X-Man didn't really take off as a character quite the way that others have.
Gonna be honest, it kind of looks like, so I'm going to share a picture of X-Man real quick. At least I don't know if this is the picture, but this is a picture. So he kind of looks like, Marvel Jesus.
They definitely did do that at some point. Hang on. Like, they definitely had other versions of X-Men. The X-Men that I think he started out of before he became Jesus. Where are you? No, don't show me pictures of Wolverine, Google, you fucking morons.
So I'm sorry. I'm kind of finding like another one that looks like almost like, I want to say Neo almost, because he's, or I don't know.
He kind of, like, when he first started out, he had, like, that Leon Kennedy haircut.
Let's see. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, but you're right. It feels like they're very much going for Cable rather than X-Man.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, let me
see. I mean, it kind of shows that they're doing the Cable route with the baby, because Cable appears a couple of episodes ago, every, like, 5 seconds. Yeah. I like how, like, there was that little thing of, like, you need to get everyone out of here. And she's like, your eyes, you've only got one eye that you can really see. Like,
but that was still pretty cool. And it's like, and again, we're going to have him show up again because he knows, like, I feel like he knows that something bad is coming, like something, some bad shit is going to be going down. And that's what, and like, that was like the first thing that leads to it is the attack on Genosha. So the next 5 episodes are going to be just a wild ride, and I can't wait to see it.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, I think we're actually pretty much at the end of our time. So here, I will say, so real quick, thank you guys all for watching. Thanks to Harrison. Harrison, you got anything you want to talk about with us? You got anything new you want to say?
Yeah, new audiobook has just launched on the channel, so please do go enjoy it. So it's Resident Evil, The Umbrella Conspiracy, the novelization of the first Resident Evil game. So we had the City of the Dead audiobook here on the channel already. And I did do this one live years and years ago, but I've decided to redo it in better quality. So please go check it out. It's a fantastic book. And if you love those games, it is a great way to enjoy the story of the original.
Hell yeah. And go do that. And then also, while we're at it, I wanted to just bring this up real quick because I know you had it.
Yeah.
It's the original X-Man.
Just that's more the X-Man that I knew rather than the Jesus one. I mean, obviously, very 90s sort of design that they've done in there. But I liked him. He had this weird thing. He was psychic, but he had the weird eye beam, like as a reference to Cyclops. It was nice.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, yeah, sorry. I just wanted to bring that up because I knew you had it ready to go. All right. Peaky, you got anything you want to tell us about on your channel?
Yes. Yeah, any so, new we hit a staggering 1K this week, as well as 75,000 views. So we're on our way to 80,000 views as well. I'm still blown away. I don't think it still hasn't quite sunk in that I'm at 1K. Just because I mainly think it's probably because it happened within a week as well. Like it happened really quickly. Every day, I more or less nearly every day, I hit a milestone. So I was like, okay, can't really catch up and keep up with all of this. I am planning a giveaway for it. So I will be releasing a video on my channel this week. So keep an eye on my channel. Keep an eye on my socials as well, so Instagram and Twitter, because I'll be throwing it up on there as well. I'm still trying to think of how I can run the giveaway. And we're starting a new project on the channel that literally tonight as well, but it probably won't be out this week just because of editing wise. I usually get my game night videos edited on a Sunday and I'm out all day tomorrow airsofting, so it will be pushed back a week. So Minecraft it's going to be a Minecraft project where I'm grabbing the What Is Game Night crew and I'm pitting them against each other and sometimes teaming them up to win a coveted trophy to put in front of their houses. I will be competing alongside them in some challenges, but sometimes I will be the glamorous host or, you know, mechanical madman that has created such devious acts. And yeah, it's a fun little project where we're just going to be, I'm just going to be having a bit of a fun time with the Among Us crew, the Game Night crew, but it's not going to be in the Game Night series. It's going to be titled Minecraft Mondays. At the moment, I still haven't penned a set idea on a name yet.
But yeah,
and I've got 10 strange, mysterious stories that I really need to get recorded because I have the scripts sat here on my desk. Luckily, I have got a week off at the end of the month, so that's probably when I'm going to try and bulk record a lot of my live action stuff compared to the game stuff. And all right, I'm also going to do some solo What Is Game Nights as well. I've been watching a lot of Happy Wheels content on YouTube. I'm gonna do some Sogo What Is Game Nights. Maybe they'll do them as like a live stream type thing. But there'll still be a What Is Game Night, but I'll do them as a live stream. So
cool, man. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure everyone else who watches your channel and follows you as well. So go check out, if you don't, go fucking follow Peak or go subscribe, go get him to 2,000 now.
Yeah,
so now he has to do a second
road to 2,000.
Road to 10. That's your next milestone. Make it road to 10,000.
I think five in the next 2 years.
Over the next 2 years, watch. Within a week, it's like, what am I? How did I get to 2,500?
I mean, Visceral Cleanup Detail Part 1 came out yesterday. So
we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But all right, guys. So I want to say thank you all for watching. There was only a handful of you today and not a lot of commenting. I imagine that either means that you guys are not watching fucking X-Men or you just didn't care. Either way, what the hell is wrong with you? But I want to say thank you to Baz. He was in here for a minute. And we also got Tim for a short time. So thank you guys for popping in and anyone else who did. You know, as always, make sure you like, subscribe, and comment below. Hit that bell notification so you know when our episodes and our videos come out. You know, go check out our audiobooks, our podcasts. Check out the I'm fucking picky. Go check out the audiobooks, the podcast. Go check out all of our awesome content and any of the new stuff that we have coming out. Our shorts, our fucking Harrison did a pretty funny thing where he talked to, where he fucking was describing t-shirts to you.
Oh yeah, I've got loads of those. I need to keep posting them. I forgot all about them.
So yeah, we have all kinds of that stuff. So go check it out. And you know, as always, I have been Gilbert.
I have been Harry.
I've been Peaky.
And this has been the Fulcrum Entertainment Podcast. Thank you guys all for watching, and we will see you guys next week. Bye-bye, everybody.